So, there you have it. That was five verses And Srila Prabhupada gives, let's see, a six-page purport. Are you ready? I will not read the whole purport because I think you are not ready. Actually. But I will read a little bit. I will read the first paragraph. So, Srila Prabhupada says, this process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by misintelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. This is actually the means to get out of the entanglement of those elements. The embodied soul is entrapped by the body, which is a casing made of the 24 elements. And the process of knowledge, as described here, is the means to get out of it. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. The process of knowledge terminates in an unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So, if one does not approach or is not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. But if one takes to devotional service and full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12, yes, yasi bhaktiya bhagavatya kinshana, Savaikunaistatra Savasateshuna. All the qualities of knowledge develop in one who has attained the stage of devotional service. The principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes to devotional service, it is most important. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this is nonsense. The Mahavishnu, short class. But anyway, Dundry. Thank you, Rob and Dundry. Thank you for coming. And we hope you're all happy in Krishna consciousness. Are you all happy in Krishna consciousness? Okay. Nobody is in Maya. Anybody in Maya? Say it now. Well, we have what, 5 verses here with a 6-page purport. We read less than 1 page of the purport. There's a lot of information there. Krishna has described in these 5 verses what is the process of knowledge. And in many ways, it is very different from what people might expect. Generally, if you talk about knowledge, acquiring knowledge, and becoming educated, then people think you have to go to the local school, like some of our youngsters here. I'm sure you're going to school and you're learning ABC 1-2-3 and all these types of things. And generally this is what people think is what we mean when we talk about developing knowledge. Maybe you have to go to the bookshop down the road, buy a book, read the book, and study and make notes and things like this. And then you develop knowledge. But here, Lord Krishna is talking about a different approach to knowledge, a whole different concept of what is knowledge, and we get the idea from the very beginning in that the first part of knowledge, I don't know how many of you are Bhagavad Gita scholars. I don't know how many of you have read Bhagavad Gita from beginning to end. And I also don't know how many of you were listening carefully when I read the verse and the purport. But the very first item out of the 19 items that Lord Krishna has mentioned here, the first item in the process of developing knowledge is, in Sanskrit, amanitvam. Amanitvam. And that means humility. This is the first part of the process of developing knowledge, but people would not expect that, would they? If you want to become knowledgeable, first thing, become humble. People will think, what? Doesn't make sense. But actually, it makes very good sense if you really understand the idea. Because here, knowledge, what Krishna is talking about here as knowledge, is not just some academic knowledge. As you said, ABC 1-2-3, all that sort of thing, and learning some languages, learning Malay or Tamil or English, etc., etc., and mathematics, some science, and things like this. Prabhupada explained in the purport there that we read that really the idea is that, help us, let me just read it again. The process of knowledge as described here is the means to get out of the material body. The means to get out of the entanglement of the 24 elements of this material world. In other words, to get out of the material world. The process of knowledge is not just, like we said, something academic. And then you go to university and you get a degree in something. And then you get a good job, maybe with computers or something like that. And then you earn lots of money. And when you get lots of money, you get your big house here in America. Your big house. 3 floors. Television in every room. And things like this. That this is the end of the process of knowledge. The end is you get a good job, get lots of money, and live a comfortable life. Still, the process of knowledge that Krishna's talking about here is really something different, and the goal of it is to get out of this material world. Get out of the ignorance. Not the academic ignorance, but the real ignorance that we're in. Ignorance of who we are. Ignorance of what is this world. How did we get here? Now we are here, what should we do? What are we really meant to do? And what should we really be working towards to make our lives complete? So generally, of course, people don't understand this. And when they hear that, as Krishna says here, very first thing, a manas one, first step in the process of acquiring knowledge is humility, then they won't be able to relate to that. But consider this. If a person is humble, well, if a person is not humble, if a person is very proud, and they think, I am the greatest. I remember when I was young, about maybe your age. How old are you now? 16. So it was around that time. There was a famous boxer boxing. His name at the time was Cassius Clay. Later he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. He became a Muslim. And this Cassius Clay, he was the top boxer in the world. For a few years until someone beat him completely. So he was the top boxer and he was so proud you wouldn't believe it. In public, on television, anywhere, he would shout out, I am the greatest. This was like his mantra. Every day, the whole day, he would just tell people, I'm the greatest, again and again and again, and just shouting. So when a person is very proud like that, then of course they cannot bow down in front of other people. And they also cannot bow down in front of God. Because they think, I'm the greatest, and who needs God? You know, I don't need God. I have me. And I am the greatest. And I am the best. And I can do what I like. So you see, that pride becomes a big obstacle to real knowledge. Because real knowledge, a very essential part of real knowledge, is to understand Krishna. And to understand, as Lord Chaitanya said, Jivera Surupaya, Krishna Nityas, that actually I am the eternal servant of Krishna. I am not the greatest, but really I am very small. As the Upanishads say, that really I, as a spirit soul, which is what I am 1/10,000 the size of the tip of the ear. That's small. That's so small, I don't know if you can even see it with a microscope. That's very small. That is our actual size. But in ignorance, people think, I am great, I am wonderful, I don't need God. I can do what I like. So you get the idea. Pride is a big obstacle to real knowledge. Because here, Srila Prabhupada, you know, there are these 19 items which make up the process of knowledge. Prabhupada says here, he says one of them is the most important. Now, devotees, let me test you. Let me see who was listening and who was daydreaming and who was wondering what is for the sun at the end of the program. What is the main process out of these 19? What is the main item Prabhupada draws our attention to it in the purport? The main one. The first one was humility. What was the main one? Any volunteers? Take a chance. Have a guess. Live dangerously. The main one, Prabhupada says here, of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 11th verse. Maishanangena yogena bhaktir avyabhichani. The main one is the process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed emotional service to the Lord. So if one does not approach or is not able to approach the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. So if you're very proud, again, back to the first part, the humility. If you are not humble, but if you think you're really great and you don't need to bow down to anyone, rather people should bow down to you, then you're not going to render service to the Lord. A famous demon, his name was Wagner. He was, I think, German, a famous composer. He wrote a famous opera called Dante's Inferno, and it's about going to hell. Interesting subject, probably suitable for him. And in it, the main character says, better to be king in hell then to be servants in heaven. Pride. Better to be king in hell than servants in heaven. So this humility is very, very important if you want to develop this real knowledge of what is life and who am I and what is life about. This humility is extremely important, because if you're really humble, then you can bow down before the Lord, offer prayers to the Lord. You'll be able to appreciate the Lord and take shelter of the Lord. And therefore Lord Chaitanya said in the third verse of the Shikshasika, let me test you all again, devotees. What's the third verse of the Shikshasika? Any volunteers? Or are you all just very humble? We don't want to become prominent. Okay, well done. Thank you. Trinadavi Sinchaya Trogila Sinchana Amaya Manadena Kirtaniya Sadari. Krishna says, Arada Lord Chaitanya says, you should chant the holy names of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking yourself lower than the straw in the street. You should be more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, you can chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. And the fact is that only in that state of mind can you possibly chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. Otherwise you won't be able to. You may chant a little bit, but then your mind will insist on stopping. So humility then, ananatva, it's such an important part of the process of knowledge, of real knowledge. And without it, if you remain puffed up and proud, then you can't be successful. So anyway, as we mentioned, as we just read again here, Prabhupada points out that of the 19, or 20 actually, of the 20 aspects of the process of knowledge, the most important is devotional service. Even if you study all the others and become experts in all the others, but you don't become a devotee, even if you become very humble, but you don't become a devotee. And even if you develop knowledge of the soul, but you don't become a devotee, then all the other things will not really help you. Because we are the internal servants of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada, and this is the way. If we take that position of being the eternal servants of the Lord, that is the only way we can become truly and fully happy. Prabhupada gives the example of the hand in relation to the wrist or to the whole body. The hand, of course, is part of the body. But it has its own unique nature. The hand can manipulate things and so on like that. But other parts of your body, they cannot do that. So the hand has this, you know, special characteristic of being able to manipulate things. So, Srila Prabhupada told the story of how one day the hand was feeling upset. The hand was sinking. Look, all the time, for years, I've been putting food in the mouth. I never got any food myself. Not once did I get any food myself. I put it all in the mouth. What did I get? I got nothing. I didn't even get one samosa. What's your favorite prasad? Malaysian food. Which Malaysian food? Sabla. Did I pronounce it correctly? Well, Sabla.
Sweet and sour.
Okay. So, the hand was thinking, I never got any sweet and sour, not one time, not one mouthful. It's not fair. So the hand decided, I will go on strike. I will not put any more food in the mouth. I will take it all myself and eat it myself. You see, this was the idea of the hand. So for a day, maybe for 2 days, something, the hand was taking all the sweet and sour and all the dosa and idli and sambha and coconut chutney and trying to consume it all itself. Somehow trying to squeeze it in and something like that. But after a couple of days, the hand found he was not feeling good. He was not really enjoying the taste. He wasn't getting any taste. And he found he was feeling weak. His strength had gone, and he was not able to do what he wanted to do easily. So then the hand thought, okay, let me put the food back in the mouth. And he started doing that again. And after just a little while, the hand was feeling okay again. Just after some hours of putting the food back in the mouth, the hand was feeling good. So the Prabhupada told this story, and it illustrates a particular point very nicely, actually. The Prabhupada was very expert at giving suitable examples and helping us to understand things. You see, the hand is part of the body. We are part of Krishna. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, Mama Evanso Jivaloke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. This is chapter 15, verse 7. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mama Eva Ansa Jivaloka. The jivas, the living entities, that's us. You don't need to look at them, it's okay. He can manage his stuff. So Krishna says, the living entities, the jivas, are my ansas. Mama Eva Ansa. The living entities are my answers, means my parts. My parts and parcels. So just like the hand is part of the greater body, we are also parts of the greater nature of the Supreme Lord. So, and just like the hand will be happy when he cooperates with the whole body. He will not be happy if he tries just to do his own thing independently. Similarly, we will be happy when we cooperate with the Supreme Lord, who we are part and parcel of. And we will not be happy if we just try to do our own thing. Of course, people think, how will I become happy? I will do things for myself. I will do things for my own enjoyment, and in that way I'll become happy. It seems like that may be the best way to do it, to become happy. Just do things for ourselves. But we see in this world, even though everybody practically is trying to do that, they're working very hard to find their own happiness. But where are the happy people? Where are they? I was in Singapore, I didn't see any. I saw them wandering in the streets on the way to work. None of them looked ecstatic. Oh, I'm going to work. Wonderful. They all looked rather dull and depressed, actually. So you see, just if you look in the world around you, you will see living proof and so many examples, so many individuals who are living proof that trying to just get our own enjoyment directly does not work. It does not make us happy. So it is because, as we said, we are parts and parcels of Krishna. And just like the hand becomes happy when he puts food in the mouth, we also, we become happy when we please Krishna, when we serve Krishna. Then we find we become very happy. We become ecstatic. Even though we are not doing anything for our own direct pleasure. Nothing. We're trying to please someone else, Krishna, but we become happy. This is Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada makes the point here, or he emphasizes this point, that of the 20 parts of knowledge that Krishna's described here, the main one is to render service to Krishna. It is the essence. It is the goal. And it is what everything is trying to help us achieve, everything else. And then the Srila Prabhupada, in that same paragraph, he then mentioned another one of this list of different activities and things. He mentioned a second one, which is the next most important. And again, devotees, I don't want to embarrass you or make you feel bad, but does anyone there, any one of you, remember what is the other process that Prabhupada emphasizes after this first one, most important one, of serving Krishna? What is the next one? Devotees. drink. Well, that's the first one. That's when drink devotional service. The second one, Prabhupada said, is taking shelter of a spiritual master. Prabhupada describes this. Yeah, we read this. We read this. That even if you have devotional service, even if you have bhakti, and now you are doing devotional service, but you need to do it under the supervision, under the guidance of a spiritual master, not just independently, I will serve Krishna someday or another as I like. No, we need guidance. So this is also a very important point. And we can note that, well, in 1 week from today, in 1 week is, you know what it is? Gopurnima. Got it. It is the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, Gopurnima. Next week, Wednesday. So, Lord Chaitanya, of course, he is the Supreme Lord. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. There's a verse which means, Lord Chaitanya is none other than Radha and Krishna combined. So, in this regard at least, we can note that Lord Chaitanya, even though he is God, and he is the greatest authority on everything, and indeed, he knows everything about everything, but still, Lord Chaitanya, he accepted a spiritual master. He did it. Who knows what was the name of Lord Chaitanya's guru? I can't hear you. Who was it? Yes, who was it? She's thinking of it. But anyway, Ishvara Puri. Lord Chaitanya accepted him as spiritual master and was initiated by him. Lord Chaitanya does not need a spiritual master. Rather, he is the supreme spiritual master for everyone, for the whole world. But he accepted the spiritual master to teach us a lesson that it is very important, it is essential to accept a spiritual master. So, some people think that Lord Chaitanya, even though he officially accepted a spiritual master, but some people think he didn't really accept a spiritual master. He just did it just to make a show. But we see with Lord Chaitanya, when Lord Chaitanya was initiated by Ishvara Puri, then he asked his guru, what should I do now? Now I'm initiated, what should I do? And Lord Chaitanya suggested, should I speculate on dry, impersonal philosophy? What should I do? Now I'm initiated. And Ishvara Puri said, no, don't do that. What you should do is, and he spoke very famous verse, Hari Ranam, Hari Ranam, Hari Ranam.
Krishna went to God and Bible with Sudama
And while they were there in the forest, there was a big storm, and they were trapped in the forest for the whole night. And in the morning, Sandy came and found them and sort of rescued them. But he was very happy. He was very pleased with Krishna and Sudama that despite all this difficulty, being stuck in the forest for the whole night, in the storm, despite that, you didn't give up, you didn't become distressed, run away, panic. You just did your service. You collected the wood, you kept the wood dry the whole night. And so Satipati Muni thanked Krishna and blessed Krishna. He blessed him. Whatever you say will become extremely famous. And you see, 5,000 years later, Bhagavad Gita is extremely famous. Even here, in this rather remote part of the world, Malacca, we are reading Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years later. So in other words, Krishna also, he really accepted a guru. So this is a very important part of the process of knowledge, and for all of us as devotees and aspiring devotees, it's very important for all of us. So please do that. You know, sometimes you get these people who think that you don't need a guru. You can sort of do it yourself, or just you only accept Prabhupada and you don't need a living guru. But Prabhupada was asked one time, there's actually a verse in the Bhagavatam. How does it begin? Anyway, the important line is Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We must regularly attend class on Srimad Bhagavatam and render service to the person Bhagavat. Study the book Bhagavat and serve the person Bhagavat. And Prabhupada was asked, which is more important, to read the book Bhagavat or serve the person Bhagavat? And Prabhupada said, it is more important to serve the person Bhagavat. Prabhupada said, because the book, like here we have Bhagavad Gita, if you don't like what it says, you can always close it and just put it away, and that's it. It's not going to come chasing after you. But Prabhupada said, the person Bhagavat, the devotee, he will pull your ear. Prabhupada said, he will pull your ear. You cannot just escape. He'll come after you and say, hey, wait a minute. Are you chanting your rounds? Or what are you doing? So anyway, this is being emphasized here by Krishna. To make the process of devotional service complete and solid and meaningful, it has to be rendered under the direction of spiritual master. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening very patiently. Any comment or question from anyone? If there's no comments or questions, either it means you understood everything and you accept everything, or it means you didn't really get the idea. Okay, anyway, Hare Krishna. Yeah. children of God King.
Hare Krishna.